Developing news tonight, holiday storms flaring up across the country right as the holiday rush begins. Rain and snow to snarl travel for millions. Al Roker is here with the latest forecast. Plus, who's getting a white Christmas? A stinging rebuke at the UN as the world nearly unites against one of President Trump's major moves. A staggering new look at the opioid crisis. After years of living longer, Americans are living shorter lives, and health officials say a growing epidemic is to blame. A neighborhood rocked by a deadly explosion, blowing apart a home, a tragic new alert as you turn on the heat this winter. The future of airport security, 3D scanners that digitally unpack your bags, cutting-edge technology to find hidden bombs, and a little boy and his best friend.
Megan.
We've got a heartwarming happy family update for the holidays.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and thank you for being here on this Thursday before Christmas. And tonight, as millions are set to begin their holiday journeys, storm systems threaten to disrupt holiday travel across several portions of the country over the weekend and into Christmas, including rain moving up from Texas to the Mid-Atlantic, eventually bringing rain, snow, and even ice to New England. All of it a recipe for air travel delays. Let's walk over to the weather map. Al Roker is watching it all for us. What are we looking at?
Well, Lester, 107 million of us are going to be traveling this year, according to AAA. And tomorrow, we start seeing big problems down south. Memphis and Nashville looking at problems for the airports, the roads, I-70, I-40 problems, morning snow in Michigan, evening snow in New England. We move on into Saturday. Look for rain along the coast and inland, but snow will continue in interior sections of upstate New York and New England. I-90 going to be the big problem. As we move into Sunday morning, anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of snow from Buffalo on into Maine. And as we look at what happens on Christmas Day, heavy snow in the Northeast, bitterly cold in the plains, some snow and rain in the Pacific Northwest. Chances for a white Christmas this year, likely from Bend and Boise, Casper, on into Minneapolis, Chicago, and Lester. This year, New York City has a shot at a white Christmas. Last time we saw that, 2009, we got 2 inches of snow.
Kids might want to put sleds on their Christmas wishes.
Absolutely.
Al Roker, thanks very much. Let's turn now to that dramatic vote at the UN, delivering a scathing rebuke to the U.S. and condemning President Trump's decision on Jerusalem. The vote in defiance of warnings from Ambassador Nikki Haley, who said the U.S. would be taking names of countries who oppose America on this move. NBC News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell has details.
Tonight, the U.S. firing back after the U.N. vote, as the U.N.'s largest single donor, threatening to withhold potentially the $3.3 billion it provides U.N. activities each year.
This vote will make a difference on how Americans look at the U.N. and on how we look at countries who disrespect us in the U.N. And this vote will be remembered.
The warning after the United Nations overwhelmingly condemning the U.S. for recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the only country planning to move its embassy there. Countries cheering the final tally, 128-9, including major American allies, Britain, France, Germany, and Japan, all opposing the U.S. 35 countries, including Canada, abstaining, but still against the White House decision. The president warning yesterday he is keeping score.
We're watching those votes. Let them vote against us. We'll save a lot. We don't care.
Haley herself sending a letter to diplomats that the president and the U.S. take this vote personally, raising eyebrows by tweeting, "The U.S. will be taking names." Protests throughout the Muslim world ripping the president's decision, fearing it could end hopes for peace talks despite U.S. denials. Already, Palestinian leaders telling Vice President Pence he is not welcome in Bethlehem for planned meetings.
Threatening to withdraw American support from countries that voted against us, threatening to take names, it makes us appear as a bully.
So the State Department tonight trying to spin the vote as and this rebuke as a victory because the tally could have been worse. Still, U.S. officials, multiple officials telling NBC News tonight that the president's long-awaited Middle East peace plan is now going to be delayed for months. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell at the State Department for us tonight. Thank you. Surprise word this evening from Afghanistan, an unannounced visit by Vice President Pence, meeting with U.S. troops and with Afghan leaders in Kabul. The visit was kept secret except for a few key staffers, slipping out of D.C. yesterday afternoon. He's the highest-ranking Trump administration official to make that trip. And back in Washington, President Trump made a visit to Walter Reed, meeting with wounded service members, saying he wanted to wish them a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He also presented a wounded warrior with a Purple Heart. With the clock ticking, the Senate is expected to vote soon on a stopgap spending bill to avoid a government shutdown just before Christmas after it passed in the House late today. But the measure also leaves a lot of unfinished business hanging until the new year. Let's get more from NBC News Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt.
Racing to keep the government open at Christmas. The House tonight voting to keep the lights on for four more weeks.
The bill is passed without
After a scramble to get enough Republican votes. The president charging today, House Democrats want a shutdown for the holidays in order to distract from the very popular just-passed tax cuts. House Republicans don't let this happen, with Democrats drawing a hard line.
Why not vote to keep the government open?
Well, wait a minute. They have the votes to keep government open. They don't need us to keep government open.
The continuing resolution funds the government at current levels until January 19th. It also keeps CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, going until March, gives $2.1 billion to a Veterans Health Program, and gives the Defense Department $4.7 billion in emergency funding. It all sets up another showdown in a month's time, because in Congress, the rule has been, why do today what you can put off until tomorrow?
Is Congress just punting the ball again on spending?
That's what we do. That's what we do.
This time, Congress is leaving town without fixing the Obamacare insurance markets, making a real budget deal on defense and domestic spending, reauthorizing the surveillance law that lets the government wiretap foreigners without a warrant, or permanently fixing the children's health care program, a big concern for the parents of 8-year-old Nicholas Stratton. They rely on the program to cover his cerebral palsy treatment.
You can pass taxes fast, but when it comes to people's health, you know, we're sitting here trying to figure out what's going on.
Also waiting, more than 700,000 dreamers living in limbo as Congress packs up to leave for the Christmas holiday.
The Senate also voting and leaving town tonight. But these problems are not going to get any easier to fix in the new year. The Dreamers need a fix by March. And quite frankly, the upcoming midterm elections are not going to make bipartisanship any easier. Lester.
Casey Hunt on Capitol Hill tonight. Thank you. Let's turn now to that staggering new look at the opioid crisis in America, touching so many families. And the news tonight that life expectancy in this country has actually dropped for the second year in a row, something not seen in more than half a century. And health officials say the epidemic is to blame. Here's NBC's Stephanie Gosk.
The nationwide emergency is as urgent as the 911 calls, often coming from the children, parents passed out or worse.
But you're unable to wake them up?
No, I died, and they won't wake up.
Not nearly enough lives are being saved. A government report out today says more than 63,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2016, up 21% from 2015. Cheap, readily available, and dangerous opioids caused more deaths than breast cancer last year. No corner of the country is spared.
Good morning.
An elementary school principal in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, becomes a grief counselor.
Having to enter a first grade classroom and tell students, you know, that their classmate has lost a parent, and then to have to do that again and to do it again.
Very gorgeous.
A young mother in Dayton, Ohio, lost her first baby because of drugs. Her second was born with symptoms of withdrawal.
Right away, I was like, you know, I can't live through that again.
Sorry, little sister.
In Florida, grandparents are raising grandchildren.
And he says, I can't always have all chocolate.
He didn't ask to be in this position. He deserves to have a happy childhood.
Experts say today's report does not come as a surprise.
Until we see that someone who's opioid addicted can walk into an outpatient center and be started on treatment that same day, regardless of their ability to pay for it, until we get there, I'm afraid overdose deaths will continue to go up.
And tonight, there is reason to be more concerned. The final numbers for 2017 will likely be even worse.
President Trump declared the opioid crisis a public health emergency and set up a commission to propose solutions. But some experts, Lester, say they're disappointed because there hasn't been funding to back it up.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of hope right now.
No, and frustration.
All right, thank you. An entire neighborhood is on edge tonight after an explosion destroyed a home, killing one person. Firefighters rushed to the scene in Phoenix, investigating a possible gas leak. This could be the latest in a series of recent tragedies all across the country. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has more.
The explosion in Phoenix leveled a home and rattled an entire neighborhood. Firefighters scrambling to save anything and everything they could after discovering a gas leak.
Our crews quickly encountered two people, one who was pronounced dead at the scene and another who was transported to a local trauma center.
The deadly blast comes hours after another suspected gas leak explosion at a vacant Los Angeles restaurant overnight.
You can hear someone go, "Bow!" It was really loud, and you feel the shake.
Often deadly, gas explosions like these can destroy homes, buildings, even neighborhoods. This month alone, in Maryland, Indiana, and Arkansas, authorities are investigating home explosions. On this first day of winter, officials say beware. If you smell gas, leave immediately and call for help, and know how to shut off your gas line. Advice that can save homes and lives when the temperature drops. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
After weeks of battling massive wildfires in California, finally some relief. Firefighters are now gaining the upper hand on that massive Thomas Fire, as it's known, now 60% contained. All major evacuation orders are lifted, but the fires have taken a toll on residents and certainly the fire crews. There's a powerful image out here. There it is, showing firefighters grabbing a quick nap after a grueling 24-hour shift. This photo has gone viral. We're getting new images in tonight from the shocking moment a car rammed into a crowd of pedestrians in Australia, injuring at least 19 people. The scene all too similar to other recent attacks around the world, including here in the U.S. But so far, investigators are not linking it to terror. NBC's Kelly Kobiea has the latest.
Tonight, new security footage showing the white SUV pulling out into traffic, then accelerating toward a crowded intersection filled with Christmas shoppers. What happened next is horrifying. The car smashed. More than a dozen people lie injured in the street, including a four-year-old boy. Reports of bodies flying.
She described it as people flying through the air like rag dolls.
The incident echoing other driving rampages, like a year ago this week at a Berlin Christmas market. But in this case, police say so far they've found no ties to terrorism. The man behind the wheel, a 32-year-old Australian, an off-duty police sergeant, tackled him.
He is a person who is known to Victoria Police and has a history of drug use as well as mental health issues.
Tonight, they're calling what he did deliberate and evil, but not a terror attack. Kelly Kobiea, NBC News.
We turn now to a new look at airport security, with the next couple of days expected to be among the busiest of the year. The TSA expects to screen 100 to 400,000 extra passengers each day through January 2nd. And as airline passenger volume continues to climb, the agency is under pressure to dramatically upgrade the passenger screening technology to protect against explosives. NBC's Tom Costello with a look at what could soon change at an airport near you.
At TSA checkpoints nationwide this holiday season, more passengers, more screening officers, more dog teams, belts and shoes off, personal electronics out of the carry-ons. But screening veterans warn a determined terrorist might still get a bomb through today's checkpoints. This could be the solution.
The laptop, the charge cords, the liquids, everything's in here.
New 3D scanners that digitally unpack a carry-on bag, manipulating the image to peer beneath whatever's inside. Like a medical CAT scan, the software removes the clutter from overstuffed bags, then highlights in red anything that's of concern. In this case, an aerosol can.
It's literally slicing the bag just like a CAT scan.
If you unpack the clutter, the officers are able to delineate what's suspicious and what's not faster.
While 3D scanners already screen checked bags, Congress is pushing the TSA to use them for passenger carry-ons. Already being tested in Phoenix and Boston, coming soon to JFK and Chicago O'Hare.
Among the most challenging weapons to detect, plastic explosives that can be molded to look like anything, detcord, and a cell phone triggering device.
The new 3D scanners automatically detect weapons and explosive characteristics.
Passengers will be able to leave their liquids in their bag because this system can distinguish between water, Coca-Cola, and liquid explosives.
It's going to be faster. It's going to be able to identify automatically not just explosives, but weapons, which is going to help the screeners because you're taking the human factor out.
The cost, $300,000 per machine, with the TSA starting to roll them out in 2018. Tom Costello, NBC News, Peabody, Massachusetts.
Still ahead here tonight, gift card warning. Scammers now have a way to drain their value before they're ever used. What you need to know if you're giving or receiving one this holiday. Also, Inspiring America, checking back in with two best friends who've become viral sensations. Why this could be their happiest holiday ever. Hope you can stay with us. We're back now with our latest in a series of consumer alerts this holiday shopping season. This one is about the gift that keeps on giving. We're talking about gift cards. They're easy to get, easy to give as last-minute gifts, and easy to go out and buy what you want with them. But with that ease also comes the possibility of getting ripped off. NBC's Jolene Kent has details on how to protect yourself.
Ellie Caliendo was about to buy $1,500 worth of toys at Walmart for foster kids in her nonprofit. She'd been given three gift cards worth $500 each.
We ended up having about four carts just full of toys by the time we hit the checkout. And they said, sorry, there's nothing on this card.
The card's value drained. 50 Christmas wishes dashed.
It was an absolute nightmare for me because it's 50 kids that I'm seeing in my mind that I can't purchase gifts for.
With Christmas just days away, over half of Americans say a gift card is their most popular last-minute gift, but they can also be risky.
If you give a gift card, the person could end up losing it, or in some cases, someone could have already stolen the gift card number and used that ahead of time. Trying to recoup those losses can be a headache.
Scammers steal the value of a gift card by scratching off the back for the PIN number and then replacing it with a sticker. Here's a Walmart gift card. The other is Allie's tampered card with a zebra sticker bought online. That's why you should always check for signs of tampering.
Shopping experts also recommend buy gift cards online rather than in person. Do not buy gift cards hanging on a store rack where thieves can get to them. Ask for them from behind the counter. Use a credit card for payment instead of a debit card or cash. And change the security code as soon as you buy it. Walmart ultimately replaced Caliendo's gift cards.
I was relieved that we were able to provide the gifts for our kids. We want them to just have a good Christmas, not know that it was ever at risk.
Tips to make sure those gift cards are full so those stockings aren't empty. Jolene Kent, NBC News.
Coming up here, Prince Harry and bride-to-be Meghan Markle taking another big step on their way to the altar. First came the royal engagement, and now just in time for Christmas with the Queen comes the official royal engagement photos. They were taken earlier this week in Frogmore House in Windsor. A formal photo and some more playful photos showing the couple happily in love. And is this the sound of 2018? All right, how many people are going to try this one in about 10 days from now? A suggestion from Phil Collins himself that went viral today. He tweeted, if you play In the Air tonight on December 31st at 11:56 and 40 seconds, the drum break will play right as the clock strikes midnight. I'm in. Still to come as we continue here tonight, an update on two best buddies who've touched so many hearts. The big news, they just got in time for Christmas. Finally tonight, an update on a story that struck such a chord with so many of you about a little boy called Buddy and his best friend, a labradoodle named Reagan, who've become viral sensations. And this Christmas, Buddy's getting the gift he wants most of all. Here's Peter Alexander.
It's not what we have in life, but who we have. Just ask 4-year-old Buddy and this little man's best friend, Reagan. The two, as you can tell, are inseparable.
Morning, Reagan.
Often playing for the cameras, always having the other's back.
I love you, Reagan.
Buddy, not his real name, is a foster child living in Oregon. The dog belongs to Buddy's foster grandparents. The duo, now a trio, with a new foster baby sister joining the mix. Every adorable moment captured by Grandma Sandy Swiridoff posted to Instagram. Nearly 300,000 followers later, Sandy decided to create a calendar.
I love to be able to benefit other foster children through the relationship with Reagan and little Buddy.
So far, more than $20,000 raised, all of it going to a nonprofit that supports foster caregivers, like Buddy's foster mom, Kari Lewis. The photos never showed a clear view of Buddy's face for his protection until now.
What was yesterday?
My adoption day.
When Buddy was officially adopted by the Lewises.
It was very surreal and exciting and just really precious, a really precious day.
Today's post from Reagan, a keeper. Oh, happy day, my best friend is here to stay. A boy and his dog, now forever a family. Peter Alexander, NBC News, New York.
And we are so happy to bring you Buddy's good news. And is there a cuter pair anywhere? Just asking. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, thanks for watching and good night.